Blog Talk Radio.
Agree with you in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for you. I pray for you. I'm going to use your story. I want to be free right now. Open your mouth and begin to tell the Lord. I want to be free right now. Tell the Lord. I'm ready to be delivered right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and tell him. God, I give you every failure. God, I give you every secret in my life. God, I give you every hidden thing. I'm ready. Shake it off of me. Deliver me in my secret that I might be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I will pray.
30 more seconds, 30 more seconds. He's breaking it off of you. He's changing your appetite. He's changing your desire. Somebody clap your hands for these people. Somebody's getting free. We break the cords. We break the cords of wickedness. We break the cords of your bondage. Woman, be free. Woman, be free. Woman, be delivered. Woman, be whole today.
And I will never.
I've already prayed for you. I've already
trusted
again. I've already died and rose again for it.
I've got my liberty.
Lord, I receive my liberty. Lord, I receive
I'm
my
finally free.
I want to be free right now.
I will never be.
Somebody clap your hands and praise it for these people.
Again.
I want to be free. I want to be
I've
free.
I've got my liberty.
Tell God yes. Tell God yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't see any callers at this point in time, but I am going to begin the show. This is Pastor KP, Pastor Katie Pierce with Truth Deliverance Ministry, coming to you on the behalf of Hope Alliance. And Hope Alliance stands for Healing Opportunities for Callers for Everyone. It is our desire to come and to bring knowledge into the household and the body of Christ as far as domestic violence and what we need to do to try to eradicate it in the body of Christ and universally. This show, Breaking the Silence, is going to bring you scriptural references and other things to kind of help you and encourage you to press through a domestic violence situation. So as we begin, I wanted to let you know that you can get in touch with us. Call in 213-943-3799. Or you can check us out, check out our Facebook page at Hope, and that's H period, O period, P period, E period, Alliance Inc. Also, our webpage is www.hopealllianceinc.com. Or you can email us at healing@hopealllianceinc.com. I look forward to hearing from you either of those ways, and then we can touch base. If you have any ideas or any questions that you would like for us to answer or any issues that you would like for us to address, you're more than welcome to call in with reference to those questions, and you're more than welcome to email us as well with those questions. Today we just want to talk about the outcry of the hearts that are wounded by domestic violence. And those of you who are on the line will come to know that domestic violence is not just hurting the victim or the perpetrator, it also hurts those who are around. It hurts children when they have to witness domestic violence. It hurts the relatives, the parents, the siblings. It hurts everybody. Everyone is affected by domestic violence. And so as we begin to look at it, we wanted to take a closer look at it and looking at how is the church handling domestic violence? What have you set up in your church in order for you to be able to deal with domestic violence? So there's an outcry of many hearts there, and their woundedness as far as domestic violence is concerned. They're suffering in silence in their homes. They're suffering in silence on the pews. They are suffering in silence. And so as we begin to look at that, we want to reach out and help them. We want to assist them in whatever way we can. Our desire at Hope Alliance is to help educate. Our desire at Hope Alliance is to come into the churches to assist, setting up some firewalls, if you will, so that domestic violence cannot penetrate your church. The whole issue of domestic violence and abuse is something that needs to be addressed, particularly within the Christian body, because it isn't being dealt with as openly as it should. We believe that there are a lot of victims who are crying alone and who are seeking help, but this darkness needs to be exposed to the light. And Jesus came and said that he is the light of the world, and so we need to expose darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. Part of the reason that I know this is happening and that it is difficult because it's difficult to find articles or literature about domestic violence, there is an onslaught of information if you go on the web that can kind of give you some direction, that can kind of give you some help as far as finding some assistance in domestic violence. I know that in Christ we are new creatures and that God has transformed us into new creatures and transforming us into his image. So it's not as rapid a problem as we would think, but it is definitely a problem. Because until we are fully transformed, there are those who are going to have issues. There are those who are dealing with anger management. There are those who are dealing with control issues. There are those who just have a Jezebel spirit, and they want to be in control. And these things have to be dealt with. Studies on the subject have come to find that Many suffer. Men suffer abuse as well as women. A slap is a slap, whether it comes from a man or whether it comes from a woman. It's still domestic violence. And we're not naive or gullible in thinking or in our thought process that there are not women who are perpetrators as well. I believe for too long the church has closed its eyes and looked the other way concerning domestic violence, and which takes away the safe and loving environment that should be contained within the covenant of marriage, within a covenant of a relationship. There should be a safe environment, and the church has to deal with it. As a church, we simply can't keep ignoring, looking the other way, because we don't know what to do. It is our responsibility to become knowledgeable of what to do and then to effectuate and act proactively to help those in need. We have to understand that when we have parishioners, when we have those within our church family who are dealing with domestic violence, they don't need to be eyed. They don't need to be looked down. They don't need to be looked at as less than a person. The victims do not need to be made as though to be made to feel as though it's their fault. It is not their fault. They are not the perpetrator. And so they need someone to love them. They need someone to help them. They don't need people saying, how did you get in this situation? Didn't you see the red flags or what have you? That's not what they need. They need somebody to comfort them, to help them watch this through the long haul of the situation. Not just get them and help them, and then when they're not doing what you think they need to do, you drop them like a hot potato. That is not what they need from the body of Christ. So we have to be caring. As we partner in, with them and helping them, we look to see what it is that we can do to assist them in their endeavors. Believers need to help whatever way we can to cause the violence to stop. That's the main thing, to cause the violence to stop. So in the spirit of corporation, I'd like to read the following article that was posted on crosswalk.com website and hope that some of you will read it and put feet to it, and that you would propose and do something to help in your church or to help in your outreach those who are suffering abusive situations. I also hope that your church will talk about the issue from the pulpit, so what is being done in darkness will be exposed to the light and that it will be properly dealt with. The first thing I want to talk about mainly is educating your church. We definitely need to educate our church, educate our staff, deacons, teachers, Sunday school teachers, Bible study teachers, your security team. You can call a representative of Hope Alliance. We can come in and try to help you, assist you to educate those, to set up some type of plan for you, or you can get in touch with any DV agency to come in and they'll teach on the subject as well. Usually this is done at no cost to you. Now, in reading the article from crosswalk.com, it says how churches can help victims of abuse. Statistics show that women make up the majority of victims in domestic violence. Men also can be victims. While this article will focus on women and children as victims, the material is applicable to any victim of abuse. Domestic violence is the mistreatment of one family member by another. It includes kicking, slapping, punching, choking, the use of weapons, and even murder. It is the pattern of behavior that establishes control and power over another person through fear and intimidation. Studies indicate that battering escalates over a period of time, beginning with behaviors like threats, destroying property, name calling, and then it escalates to life-threatening assaults. It is estimated that one out of four members of the faith community is a victim or a survivor of domestic violence. Yet, the church still most often fails to assist the victim of abuse, and in many cases, worsens the problem by blaming the victim. And that's where we want to take the heat out of. We want to get the problem of the person who is subjecting the problem to take to admit that he has a problem and then to deal with it, and not to continue to make the victim feel like they are to blame. So what can the church do? The church can acknowledge the seriousness of a situation and validate the experience. How? By talking to the victim, by encouraging them, letting them know that it's not their fault, by letting them know. Most women, especially when you talk to them, they will tell you, I shouldn't have said this. Oh, if only I would have did this. Oh, wow, if I only would have made the bed the way he told me to. And if that is not the problem. The problem is with the perpetrator. So you need to acknowledge the seriousness of the situation. Don't make light of the situation and tell him, oh, he'll be ill over, was he drinking? Don't give an excuse to it. Deal with the problem. Tell her that she does not deserve to be abused and that it is not God's will for her to be abused. Do not make excuses for her abusive partner, or tell her she should submit to her abuser. While men are called to be the head of the home, nothing in the text of Scripture in Ephesians 5:21-33, nothing encourages or supports physical abuse. Do not assume the role of primary counselor. Leave that to more experienced counselors. One of the things that I find, especially in being a pastor and being a leader in the church, is that most people don't want to deal with domestic violence because they don't want to be the ones to tell a person to leave their spouse. And so they go around the topic. They don't want to deal with the topic because they don't want to be the ones to have to tell the person to leave your spouse. While the Bible does not advocate divorce, the Bible does not advocate a woman being beat on as well. So we have to find a medium in order to minister to these people, these women who are going through domestic violence, because in most cases, a boy that sees domestic violence happening in the home, he himself becomes a perpetrator. He becomes a batterer. He becomes an abuser. And that's what we're trying to stop. So if you're not the one who can give them what they need for that particular time, refer them to somebody. Refer them to the local domestic violence program for support, advocacy, and possible shelter. They have phone numbers available. They're small enough for her to hide inside her billfold or shoe. We recently got something from the South Suburban Shelter, a family shelter, that gave us a way to give a woman domestic violence information that was really, really private. One of the things that you don't want to do is give the information where to be laid around and the perpetrator will find it. That's not something that you want to do because that can cause more harm than good. My thing is educate yourself. Educate yourself. If you find somebody that's going through domestic violence, you become knowledgeable of that situation so that you can share that information off the top of your head. I was reading and said this is the number to a domestic violence shelter. Also, if you need to get somebody some information, please have them call Hope Alliance. They're more than welcome to call Pastor Katie Pierce at 708-574-2533. If we can't assist them, we will direct them to someone who will be able to assist them. But the church has to put a face to domestic violence. So you want to direct them to somebody, something that's small enough that they can hide in a billfold or in a shoe. If you're a church or if you're a pastor, if you're a women's leader or coordinator, these are some information that you need to be trying to get a hold of. So if somebody comes to you and tells you that they're going through domestic violence, you don't have to turn them away by saying, oh, just continue to pray. You can actually give them the resources that they need to get out of harm's way. Assure her that sharing is confidential and that you will not tell her partner and that she's seeking out help. Keep that information private, especially if both of them are attending the same church that you're attending. We had an instance with one church where a couple was attending the congregation, and we made the proper provisions. We made the proper calls to ensure that the perpetrator wasn't kicked out of church. Do not go kicking people out of your church. And we also made it so that the victim was safe as well. We had alerted the security staff that he was to stay so many rows away from her that he was in no way to come near her. It was also told to the young lady that if you need or if you feel endangered in any way, there was a particular finger sign that she would hold up. The security team, as well as the woman over the women's ministry, would come to her aid and to her rescue. Eventually, the young man left the church and went and joined another church. But you don't want to put anybody out. You want them to be able to come to church, to be able to worship and give God praise at church and not have to worry about an abuser. Do not say the rescuer. Avoid saying, I'll take care of everything. And do not make all the phone calls for her. Point her in the right direction and make certain that she has a safe and loving place. Do make it clear that you will support her, pray for her, and be there for her no matter what she needs to do. One of the things that we found in dealing with women who go through domestic violence is they actually need somebody to be there, especially when they have to go to the police station to file an order of protection. It's something about going in there and being by yourself that is very intimidating. Your mind starts playing tricks on you. You start asking yourself, am I taking this too far? And situations like that. It would be wonderful if you would try to have somebody available that can go with her, hold her hand, see her through that process, and pray with her. These are just some ideas that we're giving to you in order for you to be able to help and in order for you to be able to assist. Suggest that she may have an emergency exit kit. An emergency exit kit, I found, is ask the woman, what do you plan to do if the abuser starts acting out? What is your plan of escape? Make sure that you put all of your important papers in a place that they're easily accessible, your social security card, your children's birth certificate, your birth certificate, bank books, things of that nature. You want to be able to put those in a safe and a secure place so if you have to make an exit speedily, you can do that quickly and without arousing any attention from the perpetrator. So she can have the kid at church, make that available to her in her workplace, a home of a friend, or a secret location in the home. The thing of it is that you always have to be ready to move. Not that we're trying to advocate, but we're hoping something will happen. We just want to be ready if and in case it does, especially if the perpetrator has not gotten any counseling. I tell women all the time, if he does not have at least 3 visits to someone for anger management, then you should steer clear of him until he gets the help that he needs. Know that you cannot make the violence disappear or change your battery's abusive behavior patterns. Never attempt to counsel a couple together if there is violence within the relationship, because battering is a control issue and not a communication issue. You're not teaching them how to communicate. That is an issue. Those of you who know God, those of you who are in the Word of God, you need to start looking up Ahab and Jezebel's spirit. Jezebel was a spirit of control. And when Jezebel's spirit does not just show up in women, this is a spirit that can show up in men as well. So you want to educate yourself about these things so that you are able to help her to get away from any threats. If she has injuries, see to it that she gets those injuries taken care of. Medical attention is needed. Establish a church emergency fund for victims of domestic violence. This is how you can help. This is how you can help. Okay, so these are the things that you want to look at. Take time to visit your local battered women's shelter. Get acquainted with the staff. Invite a few other church members to be part of a backup team to help victims. How can the church help with domestic violence? Fundings are being cut every day. Shelters are having to close down because of lack of funding. Put the domestic violence shelter in your church's area on your list of benevolent aid. Give something to them. Let's stop hoarding money and start giving money away. Oh, my God, the glory. I just stepped on somebody's toe. But this is what is so needed in our church. Again, educate. Educate your security team. Educate your deacon board. Educate the teachers of the church. Remember, call somebody. Let them come in and teach a class to them that will help them to understand and to know how they can be of assistance to them. Talk about it in your next women's conference. Let that be a class in your women's conference, in your church conference. Whatever you have coming up, the strongest weapon of domestic violence is silence. We have to put a voice to this thing. We have to talk about it. We have to bring it to bed. And whether we realize it or not, there is a rising number of domestic violence in the high schools amongst our teenage girls. They think that it's some kind of badge of honor when they go through domestic violence. We have to educate. We have to educate. We have to educate to get the information out of that. The point that we want you to understand here is that domestic violence does not have a one-size-fits-all solution. Sometimes you have to be prayerful in finding out what's the best way to handle the situation within your congregation or within from a member that is a part of your congregation. You have to be prayerful in handling some situations. But please, by no means, do not sweep the situation under the rug. One of the other articles that they had on here, and I'm not going to be able to get through all of it, was the lessons that the church can learn from the NFL. When that vice person was going through all that, and he had hit his then fiance in the face and literally drug her out of an elevator. It said that abuse is just as real and prevalent in the church. Don't be gullible, don't be naive to think that everybody in your church is going through loving and kind situations. Don't be gullible, don't be naive. We have been unwilling to properly deal with it as the church, just like the NFL was improperly dealing with it in that instance. A recent survey conducted among Protestant pastors on their awareness and handling of sexual and domestic abuse in their congregations showed that the majority of faith leaders, at least 74%, underestimated the level of sexual and domestic violence experienced by people in their congregation. We have to educate. Even more distressing was the survey found that 62% of the surveyed pastors who would help struggling couples with marriage counseling could potentially lead to devastating consequences for the safety and health of the victim and others in the home. As a church, we have often valued the sanctity of marriage against divorce, trying to speak, not speak against divorce, the practice of male headship, the submission of the wives over the safety and sanity of the individual within the family. Let me just give a disclaimer. The Hope Alliance in no way pushes a woman or tells anybody to divorce. What we do say is pray away. Pray away. Get yourself to safety of the children. That is what's important in these instances. And so we're just trying to share with you some of the things we're going to pick up with some more instances of how the church can help, how the church can deal with domestic violence. The first thing we want to say is become knowledgeable. Educate those who are leaders in your church. When you have your leadership retreat, when you have your leader conference, whatever it is that you're having, educate. Have your teachers, especially among children, to listen to the children. If they're saying things, it's imperative that you hear them, and begin to do some things to come against it. These are things that we're looking at as far as domestic violence is concerned. My heart is passionate about this subject matter because I have seen it all too much. I myself am a survivor of domestic violence. I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and it was happening to me in the church. And so I have decided that we need to educate in order to better handle this situation. Thank you so much for joining us with Hope Alliance, Breaking the Silence. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to you joining us on next week. I'm trying to talk fast. As we come again with some information regarding domestic violence and the church. I was trying to get it out of here. How do you get out? I know what it is. Okay. Somebody else did come in finally, but gotta get Fran to do my little blog, my little verb.